You're listening to the Smart Women in Business podcast, episode number 49. Hello, you're listening to the Smart Women in Business podcast. My name is Jane Mackay, and on this show, we talk to smart women in business all over the world about starting, building, and creating the life and business of your dreams while having incredibly honest, in-depth, and rich conversations with amazing women in business who will inspire you to become a smart woman in business. Hello and welcome to the Smart Women in Business vlog and podcast. I'm your host, Jane Mackay from Jane Mackay Communications, marketing consultant and coach who works with people across the world to build the business of their dreams. Today, I am talking to Laura Dick from Business with Flow. Laura helps purpose-driven businesswomen to run their businesses with intention and in alignment with their cycles. With a blend of cycle awareness, systems, and planning, Laura's approach to business allows her clients to focus their time and energy on the things that matter most. Laura teaches her clients business can be fun and easy. It's entirely possible to run your business feeling organized, grounded, in control, and with the freedom and flexibility to focus on your zone of genius. Welcome to the show, Laura, my Instagram friend.
Thank you. It's exciting. It's exciting to be here, and it's so nice to finally meet you via Zoom, but, you know, it's as close as we can get right now.
As close as I pretty much get to anybody at the moment. So you and I have known each other around interwebs for a long time. But tell me about your business journey, because it's been and how it's evolved. It's been quite a journey.
Oh my goodness, has it been just a journey? It's just started hailing outside.
Has it?
If you can hear that, it's like massive hailstones.
Oh my gosh,
we'll just edit that bit out.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. So my business journey, gosh, it has evolved so much from when I first started. So I'll give you the very brief and abridged version. I back in my corporate days, I was a project manager. I did a lot of work on large scale business transformation projects, systems implementation, all of that good stuff. And I think as the story goes for a lot of women who've worked in those high pressure corporate environments, got really burnt out, just couldn't function anymore. And yeah, really just had to make the call to slow down and make some changes about how I worked and what I did. And so that's when I decided I was going to start my own business. And for the first few years, it was something I did on the side while I continued to work
Part-time.
Yeah, with, you know, it's a similar story to so many. And then, you know, when I first started out, it was purely like, I'm really good at the system stuff and I'm really good at planning. That's what I'm going to help women with, because there are a lot of women out there who are really good at what they do, but that side of thing just doesn't come naturally to them. And so I started out doing that and it was all great. And I loved it and I worked with these amazing women, but kind of felt like something was missing, like there was more to it. Now, I think, you know, as the story also goes for a lot of other women, starting your own business is such a big personal development journey. And I started to get really interested in all of that. And I started to really delve into my spirituality and intuition and all of that really good stuff. And so back in 2019, I signed up with Ricky Jane and the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence and did the year-long third level program. And at the end of that became a qualified intuitive guide, which I know most people are like, what's that got to do with systems? And I know that it doesn't necessarily, but there is definitely, you know, some linkages in there somewhere. And so that was great. And I started to weave a lot more of that in. And then last year, 2020, I decided
to... The year that was.
I signed up with Stacia Washburn to be one of the very first students in her period coaching school, which, again, I know people are looking at this going, well, what's that got to do with systems and planning? But I promise you it's all interlinked in there somehow. I then became qualified as a period coach. And my take on that is not so much about that the health side of it, although that's obviously very important, but one of the things that I learned in my own journey recovering from burnout and fatigue was that I needed to start working in line with my cycle and how my energy changed across the month, and that I couldn't keep pushing and forcing and doing all of the things all of the time. And I had to really work with that energy. So yeah, studying with Sasha allowed me to kind of weave that into the business model where we are today. And it's exciting and it's interesting. And people seem to really be quite curious about it and want to learn more about it, which is great, because the more that women understand how our bodies work and what that actually means, I think the better, the better the world will be.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we're kind of brought up to ignore it. Unless you're going, you're getting your period, very cranky.
Exactly. Unless you're trying to have a baby or you've got your period, the rest of it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just sweep it under the rug, because it's a woman's problem. So it hasn't been, you know, brought to the fore. Like if it was a man's problem, they'd try and fix it. But, you know, and it'd be understood and all of those things. And, you know, the extension that it has into every aspect of a woman's life. Let's not kid ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When you start to understand what's actually going on in your body, you start to see how, as the hormones rise and fall and everything changes across the month, the way you think, the way your energy is, how productive you are, you know, how you should exercise, the foods you should eat, your all of that changes across the month. We're not taught any of that, but no. It really does impact every facet of our lives.
Yeah, it's so funny, because yes. we completely acknowledge that we get PMS, and then a lot of us want chocolate during our period. But the rest of it just is like it's nothing happening, and there's so much happening across all the different phases.
so much. But yeah, as I said, we're not taught that, we don't understand that, and then we get frustrated when one day we feel so good and we're lots of energy and we're so productive and we feel like we could literally take on the world. And then a couple of days later, we're exhausted and we barely can, you know, drag ourselves out of bed and we just don't want to do anything. And when you don't understand that and to know that what's going on with your hormones, you start to beat yourself up and then you start to get frustrated and you get stuck in this cycle of feeling like you're not good enough and beating yourself up because I need to do this and I should be doing that. When you start to understand that, you can plan for it and you can work with it and use those different phases of your cycle to your advantage and actually cut yourself some slack and plan to have more space and more downtime in the lower energy phases. So you can sit on the couch and watch Netflix or read a book or, you know, whatever works for you during that time.
Honor it.
Absolutely.
So do you have like a quick overview of where your energy lands? Because this is probably, some women are probably sitting there going, yeah, I feel like crap today.
Sure. So there are four key phases. Obviously your period, that's kind of the very, very obvious
one. The chocolate
phase. Yeah. So when you're on your period, all of your hormones, your estrogen, your progesterone, and your testosterone have all basically flatlined. And that's the signal to your body to allow yourself to start to bleed. As you come out of your period or your menstrual phase, you move into follicular. So follicular is almost, you could liken it to spring in the season. So your energy is starting to rise, your estrogen is starting to rise. This phase is a really good time to do some planning, to start new habits, start new things, because you've got that energy rising, you've got that motivation, and you feel like you really want to get out there and start to do some things. Then you move into your ovulation phase, which is when your estrogen peaks, and you also get a nice little boost of testosterone in that phase as well. So this is the phase where you have the most energy, you're the most confident, you're the most extroverted. You just feel really, really good, superwoman for a couple of days. Then after you ovulate, your estrogen drops off. And so that for a lot of women can be when you kind of get that dip of energy for a couple of days. So your estrogen drops off. It does start to rise again, but it doesn't rise as high as it did in the first phase of the follicular phase of your cycle. So as you move into that luteal phase, your progesterone starts to rise. Whereas estrogen is lots of energy and productivity and getting things done, progesterone is more calming and grounded and chill. And so that's why you might not necessarily feel like you had as much energy or as much drive or as much motivation in that phase. You still, you know, want to do things. Maybe you feel a little bit more creative, you tap more into the, I guess, more feminine energies, that creative tasks and that kind of thing. And then as you get to the end of your luteal phase, all of your hormones start to drop off again. And that can be when you get a little cranky, a little tired, a little, you know, the filter comes off and all of a sudden, you know, lots of emotions and things going on. And yes, all of those hormones start to drop off again as you head back into your menstrual phase. So it's very, very abridged version.
Well, no, it's really interesting because I can see the applications in business, like content creation. There's a natural fit in your cycle for content creation and batching all your reels.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Batch things like your reels, your podcasts, any videos, anything that requires you to show up and be extroverted, to use your verbal skills, follicular and ovulation, best time to do those. Webinars, doing live streams, all of that. Please don't do those the last few days before you're about to get your
because you will cry.
Yeah, it would just feel so hard. And, you know, as I said before, you start to beat yourself up because I should be able to do this and what's wrong with me?
I could do this yesterday. I love it.
Nothing wrong with you. It's just not the best time to do it.
It's very, very interesting. And I find it really interesting because, I mean, there's so many women who have ongoing issues like menstrual issues, endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, and that just can really have an impact on how you show up in your business. And I see how you're teaching women to honor that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I have to say I've been, touch wood, very blessed when it comes to that for myself. I don't have any extreme issues with my cycle, but I certainly know a lot of women that do. And understanding that means that they can plan to say, look, if they know that they're going to just feel really terrible for the first 3 or 4 days of their cycle, they can block their calendar out so that clients can't book in, they don't book themselves in to do things, they give themselves the space and they can plan for that. And then once they get through that and they start to feel better, then they can really drop into getting lots of things done and using that rising energy to be really productive.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. Mm. So we talked about you hitting burnout and other, what were the other signs for you to evolve your business? Because I know you're a systems lady and you've gone through this big, like working with Ricky Jane and then working with Stasha, like that's a pivot, to use the word of 2020.
It's a huge pivot. Absolutely. Biggest sign for me was just a feeling that there was more. Like, yes, I'm good at this stuff and I can do this stuff, but there's more. And while I love that stuff, there was almost this feeling of, it didn't necessarily light me up and get me as excited as some of this other stuff. And I think it's important and it's great. And as I said, I'm really good at it and I know people need it, but bringing the other aspects into it just makes it feel a little more well-rounded. Mm. But yeah, as I said, I don't know that there was necessarily any big sign. It was just a feeling that there was more. I was meant to do more with this. And I just had to follow the nudge. Trust what was coming through and run with it, even if I had no idea why.
Yeah, I love it. Trust and surrender. It's hard, isn't it? Because women, I'm quite intuitive, you're intuitive, obviously. We are intuitive, but we're taught to put logic around it all the time instead of just going, what feels good? What feels aligned today? You know, and feeling into it. And I'm trying to, and I'm sure other women are too, on that journey of trusting that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that for me was the hardest thing to accept. And when I was going through that training with Ricky Jane, there is an element of you just have to trust what's coming through, even if there, as you said, there's no logic to it, there's no reason for it. It's just there. You have to trust it. And for someone like me who loves a good 10-step plan clearly laid out in front of me, if we do this, then we do this, then we do this, that leap of faith can be so frightening sometimes. But I think when you take the baby steps to kind of trust the little things and then build that muscle over time, it definitely becomes easier. And sometimes you just have to leap, trusting that you will land where you're supposed to land, even when there is no clear 10-step plan about where you're going to go and what's going to come from it. But yeah, I get that. It's one of my biggest lessons is letting go of that need to control and plan for everything. I mean, I love a good plan, but there are sometimes you just have to let the plan go.
It's a wild old ride. So obviously you've given us like your key way you manage your life as an entrepreneur, but marrying that and your natural ability to be organized, how do you manage your life? Because I don't have a natural ability to be organized.
Oh gosh. I mean, it's so innate within me. I'm a Virgo. So I love
I'm married to a Virgo. Here's a fun fact. I'm an Aries. I drive him absolutely batty.
Well, I have an Aries rising, so I kind of get some
Leo
of that.
Rising. Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm just naturally organized. I love lists and I love structure and I love routine. And you know, it's just how I roll. It's just the way I am, and I don't even realize I'm doing it half of the time. But yeah, part of this whole journey and this evolution has been having to let go of some of that structure and that rigid attachment to routine and just allow a little bit more going with the flow, shall we say.
Going with the flow. Perfect business name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm not disorganized. I couldn't afford to be disorganized, but there is an element of, say, chaos, but letting go of what feels aligned today, what do I have to, unless I've got a deadline, and then I'm like focus. But I'm sure there's people need to accept that the way that they work is the way that they work.
Yes,
you can't force an Aries into a Virgo's box if you believe in that, or you can't force quite a creative free-flowing person into a very rigid structured box, because you need to honor the way you work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What works for me is not going to work for you, and vice versa. And I think for a lot of the women that I work with, when they hear that, it's such a sigh of relief, first of all, because they think that they have to be this certain way or this certain type of person in order to be able to achieve things. But sometimes it's about experimenting and finding out where, you know, what is the sweet spot or the right amount of structure and systems and planning that works for you, so you can be really clear on your goals and what you need to do to achieve them, but you also have the space to be creative and flexible. And, you know, if you want to just say, you know what, I don't feel like it today and go and play hooky, then you can if you want to, or you just, you know, you feel inspired and you really just want to follow this thread of this great idea that dropped in while you were going for a walk or something. Yeah, in the shower. Then you can. You're not, you know, literally tied to the schedule or the plan. So for a lot of people, it is a bit of experimenting, of finding that sweet spot that gives them the structure to make sure that they're not trying to do 1,000 things at once and never finishing anything and never achieving their goals. But at the same time, the flexibility and the freedom that they need, so they don't feel like they're restricted and being forced to do something that doesn't feel good or doesn't feel right for them. So
it's funny, once I gave myself permission to take the breaks whenever I want in my business and go and lie on the couch, I haven't taken a break and lay on the couch since. It was like, I really want to do it because I can't. I really want, okay, well, you can do it. oh, now I don't want to do it. I haven't done it since.
So, sometimes we just want to be rebellious, right? We just, we set these stupid especially rules you Virgos, for ourselves. Man. Yeah. We set these stupid rules for ourselves that no one is, you know, like we are our own boss. We get to decide what the rules are, but sometimes we think we have to do, you know, we think we have to be at the computer from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. when actually if you work better by having a really slow, lazy morning and start at 11 a.m. and you're really productive in the afternoon, then do that. Like you can set your own rules, but when you set.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. Like 2:30, cactus.
Oh, yeah. I'm an early morning person.
Yeah. Get me up at 5, fine. But yeah, let yourself do that, you know?
Exactly. Find what works for you rather than trying to fit into somebody else's box or somebody else's rules that you then resent and you want to rebel against. It's never going to work.
Go with your natural rebel, people.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hear this question from a woman who is so into systems. But what tools do you use to be productive in your business?
Oh, my favorite tool pretty much runs like everything in my business is ClickUp. So if you haven't heard of
ClickUp,
it's like Asana, but a million times better, a lot more flexibility. And so, yeah, I have everything, all of my systems, all of my processes, my workflows, my planning, my client management, everything is in ClickUp. I love ClickUp. It's very cool.
Funny because the two systems people I know both use ClickUp. And I'm like, do I need another one in my life? But maybe I do.
Yes, I love ClickUp. As I said, everything is in there. It's wonderful. So that's the big one for me. Everything lives in ClickUp, and my Google Calendar is the other thing. Just making sure that you know, for me, I put the phases of my cycle in my calendar. So when I'm looking forward and I'm going to, you know, book in for podcast interviews, things like that, I make sure that I'm not booking them in the phases of my cycle where I know that I'm probably not going to be at my best, or I'm not necessarily going to feel like
peopling.
I'm a massive introvert, and there are, you know, those last few days of my cycle in particular, I just want to hide away from the world and not talk to anyone. So yeah, Google Calendar is definitely the other one that rules my life.
Yes. Without Google Calendar, I am nothing. So, one of the things that I always talk about on my pod is imposter syndrome and dealing with the bad days in business. So what are your tips? How do you manage? How have you got over it over the journey of your business? Because it does change. Like, I'm much more resilient against it now. Like, whatevs. Like, shush now. But it depends on how long you've been in business and all of those
things. I think probably the biggest thing that I have learned is that it's okay to feel like crap sometimes. And rather than trying to push it away or resist it, sometimes you just need to give yourself the space to go, you know what, I'm not feeling it today. I'm just going to take the day off. And allow yourself to explore what's going on. A good question to ask, of course, is like, where are you in your cycle? Because as I said before, like those last few days, as you're heading into your period, as your hormones start to drop off, a lot of stuff can come up. And it can be the time when all of a sudden you start to feel like you're not good enough and you just want to throw it all away, run away, hide under a rock. So, you know, if that's the case, then please don't make any rash decisions. Just create some space for yourself. Give yourself some time and be really gentle and kind to yourself and revisit that, you know, when you're feeling a little more emotionally stable. But yeah, I think allowing yourself to feel that and then look at what's going on, because often some of the stuff that's coming up on the surface level, when you allow yourself to explore what's deeper and what's underneath, you can really start to see patterns and things that might be going on and things that, yeah, maybe you need to deal with. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just need the awareness of it. But when you refuse to look at things and you just kind of push them away and like, no, I'm too busy, I don't have time for this, you know, over time they tend to grow and fester and boil over into things that really didn't need to be as bad as they've ended up being. So I think that's the biggest thing that I've had to learn is allowing myself to feel that and knowing that it's okay, but then actually looking at, you know, where is that coming from? Am I just tired and I need a nap? Is my period due in a couple of days? Or is there something deeper going on that I need to explore?
Napping is generally my cure-all.
Yes, me too. Big fan of the afternoon nap.
Napping or meditation. Like I do one or the other. If I'm not feeling it, I just go, I normally meditate now, but naps always help.
Naps are great. My new favorite as well, the last couple of months really started nerding out on breath work and really delving into that. So that's always good too if you just need to shift some funky energy, if you've got deadlines.
I love a bit of tapping.
Yeah, dead tapping is great as well. So yeah.
Oh, we can nerd out together on our energetic.
Yes.
but it's funny because, you know, we have our physical body and our emotional body and our spiritual body and our energetic body, and we don't often talk about that. And we feel it like it's such a major part of our existence, yet we rarely go, there's some funky energy coming up, what's that about? And instead we go, it's, you know, it must be something else. But instead you can do that energy clearing or the energy balancing, and it can transform your day.
Absolutely. And like we were talking about before, sometimes the logical mind wants to find a reason for that, a reason why. Sometimes you don't need to know why, you just need to do something to shift the energy to make yourself feel better and then get on with your day. We don't need to, look for all of the reasons why you know something's going on. Just
we don't always need to know the why and the how. We just
Exactly.
can acknowledge, move on. So how do you maintain your sense of community? We were speaking off air about you're in New Zealand, where you haven't had all the lockdowns, but you still work by yourself. So
how's
that going for you?
I work by myself and I live by myself. So, you know, it's been challenging. I have some really good friends that live in Brisbane, and I was really grateful that I was there just in February last year, just before all of this happened. But it's been nearly 2 years now since I've been able to visit. The big thing for me is just connecting with people on social media, well, Instagram in particular. I've really stepped away from Facebook. I just not feeling Facebook this year.
Me either.
So. But yeah, just, you know, spending time on Instagram, chatting to, you know, you and I often, you know, just a few little chats in the DMs and that kind of thing. Zoom catch ups with really good friends and other women that are in business. I have my own podcast, so I also get to do things like this where I get to interview other people, which is great. It's always a good excuse to have chats with people.
Chats. Let's have chats.
Yeah, reach out to people. So I think those are probably the key ways. But yeah, it is so important to build that community of like-minded people around you, particularly on the days when it might be feeling a bit hard. You might be second guessing everything. Maybe you feel like you just want to burn everything to the ground. To have people there to kind of sense check that for you and you know, talk you down on the ledge.
Don't deregister your business. Don't do it. But I want to, I'm so overwhelmed. No, I'm kidding. So what's your why? What keeps you motivated?
Biggest thing for me, you know, the more that I have been learning about all of this cycle thinking and how it impacts not only our businesses, but our lives, is I was so frustrated when I first started learning about this about 4 years ago that we weren't taught this. And so now I want everyone to know, to understand how things work, and to understand that you're not going crazy, that yes, your hormones are to blame, but they're not to blame. It's just about working with them, not against them. And that understanding that, you know, so many women that I work with, they are so, so good at what they do. Like, they're amazing at whatever modality or service it is that they offer, but they sometimes feel like the whole being in business thing is just so hard. And when they start to work with their cycles, and, you know, like we're talking about before, about creating the right structure and the right ways of working that work for them, that business actually can be a lot easier than we think. That's my key driver. So I love to see my clients shine and really kick ass in the world, and, you know, just show up and be good at the stuff that they are really, really good at, because I think we need more women out there doing the stuff that they're good at and earning money and changing the world. And if, you know, I can be someone who's sitting in the background helping them get there, then that's definitely the role that I love to play.
Amazing. Because I was talking on my last pod with Ness and Nikki about the impact through the generations. And if you're educating this generation of women who are coming to this knowledge for the first time, I will go and teach my daughter this when she gets
this. Yes.
She will have an understanding of it. Okay. You don't need to fight it. It's not, we're so often taught that a period's a bad thing and you should be ashamed of it and, you know, hide it away. And, you know, what woman hasn't slipped a tampon up her sleeve and scurried to the toilet and all of this stuff? And it's like, how is that teaching girls that it's perfectly okay? 50% of the population do it. It's not dirty or wrong or something to be ashamed about. Like, we were talking about how, you know, when our girls get their periods, we're going to celebrate that. That's a major milestone in their lives. Yes. Like, it's something to be celebrated and said, you know, wow, you've reached a point in your life. This is incredible. It's like turning 18. And this is how we need to be in the world moving on.
Yes, we have to normalize it. And I think the more that we can have conversations and we just drop it into normal everyday conversations, the more it just becomes normal that we talk about it and that people understand it. And, you know, like, yes, 50% of the population have periods, but 100% of the population are here because women have periods.
And 25% of the women you meet are on their period. Generally, that's an approximate, but think about it. And it's not something that's affecting our lives. We're all going on and living our lives, but at the same time, it's just so much that we were brought up with, like my generation brought up with so much shame, hide it away. It's ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely.
And don't get me ranting again.
As you said, that we just start talking about it with this generation. And, you know, I've got two young nieces, and so when they get older, I can start to share that with them, and then it's just that flow-on effect of it becomes normal. And, you know, you think 3-4 generations down the track how different things are going to be because we're having these conversations.
We might have achieved equal pay by then.
Let's hope. Let's hope that there is a lot more kindness and equality in all of the ways.
Oh, we're jealous because you've got Jacinda. So what are your top tips for all the smart women business across the world, Laura?
Top tips. I think the first one is get to know your cycle. So yes, as I talked about before, you know, there are the four phases and that kind of thing. The best thing that you can start to do is start to track your cycle. You can do it in your journal, or there are plenty of tracking apps out there. You don't have to go the full hog in terms of charting, as if you were charting, if you were either trying to conceive or avoid conception, but just tracking where you are each day and how you feel, what feels easy in your business, what feels hard, and starting to look at, you will see, you know, after 3 or 4 months, you'll start to see those patterns. You know, for me, when I first started charting, I was like, oh, look, day 25 is the day that I really start to get quite cranky.
That's when it all starts to fall apart.
And so, you know, I now know as I'm approaching that, I start to give myself some more space and I don't overcommit myself and I allow myself to say no, so that I don't get to that boiling over point. So Yes, number one tip is to get to know your cycle, because it is different for all of us. And yes, well, we can kind of say these are roughly the phases. We all feel different and we all experience that different. Now, if you're not naturally cycling, maybe you're menopause or you're on contraception, you can use the phases of the moon instead if you prefer. So the new moon would be your period, full moon would be ovulation, and then waxing and the waning moons would be follicular and your luteal phase. So that can be a good sub. It's not perfect, obviously, but it's a good place to start if you don't have a natural cycle and you want to try to be more aligned with your cyclical nature. So that would be my first tip, is to get to know your cycle and then, you know, start to look at how you can incorporate that into your business. What feels good, do that then. What feels hard, move that to another phase. And then I think the other tip that and we kind of already talked about this, but give yourself the permission to set your business up in a way that works for you. If you feel better getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be really productive in the morning and then finish early, do that. If you prefer to have a really leisurely morning and not start work until mid-morning, do that. You are allowed to create your business in a way that works for you. You don't have to listen to anyone else's rules that say you have to do this to be productive or you have to do that in order to be successful. But sometimes, yeah, you might just need to experiment with what feels good, what feels right, so that you can set things up in a way that allows you to keep working towards those goals without beating yourself up because you feel like you should be doing this or you should be doing that. I think that's so, so important.
I love it. Thank you. How can people find out more about working with you, Laura, or about what you do and how you work?
So you can come hang out with me on Instagram. Business with Flow is my, I just changed it this week.
You did, so. Congrats. I'll link it in the show notes.
Yes. So Business with Flow, come hang out with me on Instagram. As I mentioned, I also have my own podcast. It's called With Flow. You can find that on all of the podcast places, which is a really good place to learn a little bit more about what I do and all of the cycle syncing stuff and how that impacts how you run your business.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Laura. I have learned a lot today and I'm sure the listeners have too.
Thank you. It was great to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Women in Business podcast. If you'd like access to the show notes, please visit my website, janemackaycommunications.com.au/blog. If you've enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more, please don't forget to subscribe. Until next time, keep on being a smart woman in business.